This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 2192. What about diamonds? How to approach controversial topics in English.
Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, downloaded more than 200 million times. Are you feeling stuck with your English? We'll show you how to become fearless and fluent by focusing on connection, not perfection, with your American host, Aubrey Carter, the IELTS whiz, and Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, coming to you from Arizona and Colorado, USA. To get real-time transcripts right on your phone and create your personalized vocabulary list, try the All Ears English app for iOS and Android. Start your 7-day free trial at allearsenglish.com/app. Do most people own a diamond ring where you live? These days, we're becoming more and more aware of the conflict involved with mining diamonds. But how can you approach a conversation like this where you might not reach human connection? Find out today.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello, Aubrey. How's it going today?
I'm great. How are you, Lindsay?
Oh, I'm excited about today's conversation. We're going to learn a lot. Aubrey, how do you feel about diamonds? What are your thoughts on diamonds, especially diamond rings?
Yes, I'm pretty opposed, actually. I don't have a diamond because when I got married 20 years ago, it was really the height of conflict diamonds in Africa. And there was some awareness building. So I didn't want to have a diamond just in case it wasn't ethically sourced.
Yes. And this came
up recently. I was very much like my antennae raised when you and Michelle were talking about the phrase diamond in the rough. And you sort of mentioned diamonds. And so I actually reached out to Michelle. I'm like, can I plan the follow-up? Because I feel a little bit passionate about this topic.
I love it. Oh, so Aubrey, let's back up and talk about conversation. Do you end up having conversations about diamonds sometimes? Because it is such a controversial issue. Do you end up in these conversations sometimes with people?
That's a really good question because a lot of people notice that I don't have a diamond on my ring. And that often has started the conversation. People will ask, why? Why don't I have a diamond? Because most people in the United States do have a diamond in some form on a wedding ring. Yeah. And mine is, I don't know if you can see on YouTube, maybe come and look, but mine is just gold and silver that I actually had an artist friend melt down and create our rings, which was fun, but no diamond. And so I have had these conversations and they've gone very differently depending on the person. I've really had to read the room. Some people are open to find out why and not feel judged even if they have a diamond on their finger. Yeah. And other people immediately, I can feel the shift in the room if they don't want to hear about it or think about it or if they feel judged in some way and I just quickly change the subject.
Yes. And so, you know, on the show, we talk about connection, not perfection. How can we find the connection moment when we're talking about anything? We are obsessed with that, right?
Absolutely.
But the fact is, Aubrey, not every conversation is going to immediately lead to connection the way we want it to, because the topic might be a hot button issue for both people, but in different directions. They disagree or they feel offended. So what do we have to do, Aubrey? We have to look for what when it comes to approaching these topics?
We have to look for signals, right? Yeah. We know this is a controversial issue, just like politics, religion. There are things that people will feel passionate or maybe they don't know about it at all. You can look at their eyes. You're going to see in their eyes if they're interested or if they're shutting down. Mm-hmm. You can see in their body language, in their tone, and also their words, what they say when they respond. If they say, oh, that's interesting. I do have a diamond.
Right.
You know, you can tell their feeling. You can feel from them how they feel about the topic, and that will really inform the conversation.
Oh my gosh, for sure. So that is going to be what we're going to get out of today's episode. And we're going to go into the actual topic, the actual controversy today. I am curious if this is more so, if the consumption of diamonds, I have a feeling, is heavier in the US versus, let's say, Western Europe. I have a feeling yes, but I'm not sure about that, Aubrey. I'm wondering if we're going to learn that today.
We'll definitely have that be our poll. So guys, stick around. We'll share our Spotify poll because we would like to know. We know, you know, I haven't, when I'm traveling, I don't look at people's rings. I haven't paid attention. Like, is the market bigger in the US? Right, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't really think to look. A lot of people think about looking to see if someone's married for whatever reason. I don't look at people's ring fingers very much.
I don't either.
It just doesn't cross my mind to look at it.
It doesn't matter to me if someone's married.
Right.
I'm having the same conversation either way.
Exactly. All right. So let's make sure our listeners go back to the original episode where Michelle and I kind of popped up this issue and then backed away from it because we knew that we'd come back to this at some point. Right?
Absolutely. It was episode 2169 of the Allers podcast, Pearls of English Wisdom. You guys shared amazing idioms when we talk about gems and diamonds and pearls. We use these idiomatically in English. So if you missed that, go back, listen to it. Be sure to hit follow because you're missing great episodes.
Yes, I love it. So, all right. We know what we're talking about today. We know what we're going to come away with in today's episode, which is the skill to approach a difficult conversation like diamonds. Now let's talk about what exactly are we talking about? We have to define some terms, right, Aubrey? So we have words, vocabulary to use in these conversations, right?
Exactly, because best case scenario, the person you're talking to will be interested and will want to have this conversation, and then you need some vocabulary. So a few terms here. The first one is conflict diamonds, which I shared at the beginning. What does that mean, Lindsay?
Okay, so there's another term sometimes used for this, which is blood diamond. I think there was a movie, I want to say Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. And we don't know how super accurate the movie is. I don't know. I haven't seen it. But basically, diamonds that are illegally traded to fund conflict in war-torn areas. So conflict diamonds is the term that might come up in that conversation, guys. Okay.
Right. And we'll go into the history a little bit here because this was a much bigger issue in the 1980s, 1990s. Some political strides have been made to make this better, but unfortunately it is still an issue. So our second term is ethically sourced, which means this can be for anything, not just diamonds. It's a product and the materials involved with it are all obtained in an ethical way throughout the entire business chain of entire supply chain.
Yes, I love that. So the idea that an ethically sourced diamond comes from a mine that's in compliance, although that's hard to confirm, right? That's exactly. Kind of part of the challenge is that that's really hard, you know, a mine that doesn't have child labor, forced labor, things like that. So that's really what we're talking about when we talk about ethically sourced.
Right. There are like certifications and, you know, these mines are supposed to prove that they are following strict labor regulations, environmental regulations, but we can't personally go to the mine and confirm any of that. So there's a certain level of trust.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Okay. And then number three, cubic zirconia. This might come up in our English conversations about this. What is that? And how is it different from a diamond?
That's very different from a diamond. It's synthetic material that is created with very different materials than diamonds. There's no carbon, right? You melt zirconium oxide powder with stabilizers like calcium and magnesium, and then they cut and polish them to look like diamonds. But the chemical properties are totally different. So it's... like when I was buying wedding rings, these were a little more popular. Maybe you would see because this next term, lab grown diamonds, weren't as popular as they are today.
Right. And so now it's a big thing, a lab grown diamond. That's the next term, right? Where they, what is this? They manufacture it in a lab. It sounds like
Right. They're created in a facility using diamond seeds, which are single crystal diamonds in a slice, very tiny, about as thick as a single human hair. And they use these technological processes, high pressure, high temperature processes that result in diamonds with identical chemical, physical, and optical characteristics as natural diamonds. So they're also made out of crystallized carbon. They end up being virtually a diamond, but just it's man-made instead of grown over millions of years in a mine.
I love it. I like it. Okay, so we've gone through the vocabulary. This is the vocabulary you guys might end up using if you do get the signs from someone that you can go ahead and talk about this, right? That they're not feeling
closed off to the conversation.
Closed off to the conversation. And when we come back from our break, let's get into the conflict a little bit, right, Aubrey? Just to get a sense of what's going on. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Okay, Aubrey, we are back from our break. I'm ready to talk about this conflict. Tell us about what we need to know here.
Yeah, so it is vital to know about the history if you're going to have this conversation. Yeah. And I found a great organization called diamondsforpeace.org. And I looked at a few different sites. It looked like all of this was pretty accurate, mm-hmm. that during the 1980s and 1990s, there were intense civil wars in Africa that yes. led to human rights violations, as both mm-hmm. governments and rebel groups used diamond revenue to buy arms, to buy mm-hmm. weapons. Mm-hmm. And so there were a lot of human rights abuses in diamond mines, child labor, bonded labor, ill treatment, violence, and even sexual abuse, sexual assaults. Mm-hmm. So it was really a terrible situation back then. Luckily, it improved a little bit in 2002. The okay. Kimberley Process Certification Scheme was adopted by the United Nations, okay. which seeks to ban the trade in diamonds from conflict zones.
Okay, I see. And so that's where the term conflict-free diamond comes sometimes, where, mm-hmm. you know, if you go to any of the modern, if you go to buy a diamond online now within the United States, you'll often see conflict-free, right, is one. But yes. again, so hard to verify that, even if it fits within the certification process. There's so much going on that we just can't know as a consumer, right?
Exactly. That brings us to sort of the current situation where even today, human rights are often violated in the diamond fields. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things happening. It's very many levels here. And I found an interesting article called Why Africa Bleeds Diamond Revenues from DW.com by mm-hmm. Nusa E. Silva okay. in February of 2023. And so just we'll go over some of the points of the reasons that diamond mining is still problematic today.
Okay. All right. Where are we going to start then? So we get a little taste of the idea here, guys, is not for us to tell you everything, right? Because
right.
you have to go out on your own. If you're interested in this topic, go find the information on your own. Go read this article. We want to show you today how you might approach this in a conversation. But we're going to get a little substance here to make sure we have something to work with. Right?
Exactly. Yes. And your friends, you know, family, if they're not ready to have this conversation, you can let them know, you know, you could research this, you can find out, and mm-hmm. this is the information that they will find online. So okay. just first that local communities are really missing out on profits still. This is still an issue where even though Africa holds this extensive mineral wealth, the revenue generated is often going to those big brand jewelers that end up selling the diamonds, and little is being done to improve the quality of life of the people who live in those local communities.
Oh my gosh, for sure, for sure. And what else, Aubrey? What do we know? Need to know. So first of all, local communities are not making the vast majority of the money that's being made that people are paying for these diamonds, right? And so there's still poverty happening. That's depressing, actually.
Exactly. And a lot of that is because these big name jewelry companies are taking advantage of political instability, right? Okay. If these governments were very stable and there weren't still regime changes often, it would be more difficult for them. This right. wouldn't be the case as much. This diamond revenue would likely be going back into these communities. But so it really feels unethical and unfair for big, rich companies to kind of be taking advantage of these lesser developed areas.
Okay. So, and what else, Aubrey? So illegal diamond mining being prevalent. And obviously, if yes. there's illegal mining happening, that's not being regulated in any way or happening under the Kimberley Act, correct?
Exactly. So there are two markets for exploitation of mineral resources. First is the formal extractive industry, which is easier to regulate. They have certificates, but also there's a clandestine secret operations, which are dominated by miners and sponsors, mm-hmm. which is someone mm-hmm. who pays miners to go deep into the bush, into the jungle, harvest okay. illegally. They buy them from them, fake the certificates. So yeah. there's just potential that the diamonds people are buying are not regulated, are not yes. conflict free.
Oh, 100%. Oh my gosh. Yes. So that's another, what else do we need to know, Aubrey, in terms of the conflict?
Yeah, just the last thing really is just that there's a lot of passion toward the developed world turning a blind eye to these issues. Yeah. A lot of us assume that the issue has been resolved. We probably heard about conflict diamonds. Maybe we saw that film Blood Diamonds, but we know that it's better now. We've been told diamonds right. now are conflict free, and we are right. sort of turning a blind eye because it is a difficult discussion to have.
For sure, for sure. And I think it's really interesting as well because I think we don't think about other rocks and gems also, right? I was recently listening to a podcast where it was the kind of scenario where the interviewer would interview someone about their business and they would dig into kind of the depths of their business and really understand how they make money. And the person being interviewed on the podcast was an owner of a rock and gem shop, actually in my area.
Okay.
And she really dug it. So it wasn't diamonds that he was selling. It was something else. I think it might have been rubies or tourmaline or something a little more common that many of us might have. And it was a similar issue, digging into, okay, but where did that, but who mined that? Are you sure? How do you know? Right. So I think
not
we kind
just
of forget
diamonds.
That it's not just diamonds, right? It's it's this whole world of rocks and gems and the natural. Anytime we're getting natural resources for many things, we don't know much of what's actually happening, which is kind of crazy, right?
It is kind of crazy. And when we think about an issue like this, there is value in increasing public awareness. So there is value in just broaching the subject with anyone you know and then seeing how it goes. So right now we're going to share you a great phrase you could use and then what you need to do depending on how it's accepted, how it's received.
Yes. All right. So how would you go about if you're brave, right? Not everyone necessarily wants to start this conversation.
Totally.
It's okay if it is within your personality or if it's something you feel really passionate about, whether it's diamonds or rubies or other types of gems or any industry that you feel something is wrong, right? People are being taken advantage of. How would you go about starting that question?
This is a pro tip that everyone loves to hear. I love when people start a conversation with, I heard a podcast about blank. Have you heard about this? And now with the episode we just shared with you guys, you can use this phrase.
Sure.
I heard a podcast about how diamond mining is still an issue. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
It's true. You've heard our episode. And then from there, what do you do, Lindsay?
You read the room. And I just laugh because that was exactly how I opened up my contribution there about the other types of gems and minerals, right? The issues.
Exactly.
We get our information from podcasts a lot, but it could also be I heard a news segment. I listened to the radio. I watched a movie and I didn't know, right? So then the next step after you've asked that question is to go ahead and read the room. What do we mean by read the room, Aubrey?
Yeah. So this is what we talked about at the top of the episode a little bit. Notice body language, right?
Yeah.
Eye contact. How are they pulling in on themselves and their shoulders are hunching, or are they opening up to the conversation? You can really read a person and if they want to talk about what you brought up and also continue to read the room as the conversation continues. Because if you start to talk about the history a little bit, the current situation, ask them what they think, make it a conversation. At any time, they might start closing off a little bit. And you could say, you know, I'm curious to read a lot more about this. Maybe you are too. And then change the conversation. It doesn't have to be something that gets super deep. You're sort of trying to just open their perspective to find out more on their own.
Yeah. And we're not lecturing people. We're not making them feel stupid if they're not aware of certain things.
That breaks the connection.
Yes, exactly. I mean, really, this episode is about something bigger than this. It's about disagreement broadly on any issue, right?
Exactly.
And we're in a place where we're such a divided world right now, at least in the US. We're very divided. So how do we approach these conversations where we disagree on a deep level, Aubrey? What, you know?
Exactly. And something like this is tricky too, because you also have the implied idea that maybe this is something they should have known about. That's happened to me sometimes. Yeah. Someone will bring something up and I feel a little humbled. Like, I can't believe I hadn't heard about that. I should have known about this. So we also have to be careful there too, with our intonation, make sure we don't sound like we're judging someone and not saying anything that makes it feel like they should have already known this. We're just broaching the subject with the goal of having an interesting conversation, deepening that connection.
Yes, I love that. All right. What is the takeaway for today, Aubrey? I guess that is the takeaway, right? Don't shy away from these things. You have the language at this level of you can understand, you know, 75% of this show. You have the skills you need to start these conversations. These conversations are what we need to come together as a community, as a world, society, American culture, again, to start to bridge the gaps that are starting to exist. Right?
Absolutely. Right? Spark the conversation with someone you know well. Mm-hmm. Use our phrase today and then read the room, and it might really deepen the connection.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Well, thanks for bringing this in, Aubrey. Thanks for approaching this topic. We like to go into the deeper things once in a while on All Ears English. Guys, hit follow on the show if you love this show. Good stuff. Talk to you soon, Aubrey.
All right. Thanks, Lindsay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to All Ears English. Would you like to know your English level? Take our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/fluency score. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then hit subscribe now to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.